Just while you're standing, because I know that I'm in Christchurch and you tend to be a little bit noisy, because I watch the rugby, and but I would really just like to encourage you. You see, we serve a supernatural God. I'll just talk to church this side. It seems a bit quiet. We serve a supernatural God. See, in the midst of our humanity, many times we forget to just let ourselves go in this whole revelation of we're serving a supernatural God. And we so often try to bring God down to our humanity, and I've got a word for that, dumb. And so that the reality, and so just for a moment, you know, there is an anointing that is in this place, and I think that we can just if you want to put your hands up, fine. If you want to stand on your head, fine. But there is something that can be released, because you don't have to wait till I've preached before you have an encounter with God. But there is something that's available for people to have a boldness that you've never had before, to declare who God is and to be proud of a supernatural God that doesn't fit in human boxes. And shakapo shundaya. And so right now we say, let it be a new boldness and a supernatural God that doesn't fit into human philosophies. And so we thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are going to release a new, a strong and an incredible boldness in Jesus' name in this place. Hey, I'm a supernatural God. Haya oh shakaya de ya suriaya masara borondo lo feranda maya na maya tarama mondola haya sukura rera bashinda ya paranda masura tianda rabashundola. In the name of Jesus, we thank you.
Amen.
You may be seated. I want you to know that as we go through the service tonight, it's impossible to interrupt a Holy Spirit meeting. The only meetings you can interrupt are religious ones, and they need interrupting. So if you feel like falling off the chair tonight, just go right ahead. And if you feel like running, well, just go right ahead. And If you start laughing, go right ahead. If you start snoring, I'll pray for you. I have no idea what's going to happen. People are saying, what's going to happen? Well, I'm so glad about that. You know, I've been a Christian for 61 years, and I've never sorted God out yet. I've spoken in tongues for 61 years. I was baptized in the Spirit when I was 7 years of age. I gave my life to Jesus and said, Jesus, this is it for life. And I'm now 68, and I'm more in love with Jesus than I ever was. Oh, he's awesome. Yeah, yeah. Ooh. Ha! Ah, and if you're getting bored with Jesus, I've got one word for you: get born again. It's like, because you haven't fully encountered the majesty of who he is. You've just had a philosophy. Last year, I had I had a heart operation, so I have my own permanent smiley face now. It goes down here and around there, and so the reality was they were telling me about all sorts of things that was going to happen. When you got the surname Fawcett, a little bit of plumbing's just going to happen anyway. So and so they're telling me all sorts of stuff, and I'm going, yeah. But then they try to tell me, you know, that I'm supposed to be afraid of these things. And the surgeon was telling me, you know, this is the stats of what can happen. We anesthetist, this is as far down. We take you as far as we can go. Effectively, we kill you. And then, you know, this. I said, well, make my day. It's like, we've got nothing to be afraid of. I'll just talk to church on this side. We've got nothing to be afraid of. Doing on Zoom, but I was there, and a few years ago my mum was quite sick, and it's really interesting having your mum in your church. Because people would go and ask, what was Seth like when he was young? And Mum says, do you know why I'm wearing a wig? I pulled my hair out. So that's fine. And someone, a lady had come to our church and said, what happens if your mum sort of dies when you're overseas? I said, oh, that's fine. But just put her on ice until I get home. And she was like, horrified. And she went and talked to my mum. Do you know what your son just said? And mum said, oh, we've talked about that as a family. Don't worry, because that's not me. I'll be in heaven. I'll be in glory. And the woman went, wow. You see, we forget how supernatural we are. You are a supernatural being who happens to be for a little while in a human body. And yet so many times we make our body our definition. Well, don't. The reality is, you know, in Lower Hutt we've got a mall, and like in many malls, and you come into Farmers, and the first thing you have to encounter is the cosmetics thing. And the ladies there will sometimes say, sir, can I help you? Have you seen my face? I don't think so. And it's like, yeah. Those of you that are sitting in the back row, just understand, I don't worry about the front ones, it's the back ones we aim for. So and everyone's going, get them. I just agree with what Janet was saying before. There's angels in this place, and there are miracles, and there are many times the reason we don't get miracles is because we look at our sickness instead of the healer. And if you're spending more time thinking about your sickness than you are about the glory of God, I just pity you. I'm serious, sometimes. The rest of the time, I will tease you. You know, some of you have heard of Rick Warren, and God gave him an amazing revelation on five purposes. I'm not clever like Rick Warren. God only gave me two. Tease people and pray for them. I don't mind which order. So I want to just speak for a few minutes, because I do know that we have to finish by 2:30 in the morning. Well, Paul preached till 3 o'clock and someone died, so I finish earlier than that. So just be safe. But I want to just preach from that well-known revival book called The Bible. I just talked to church here. That well-known revival book called The Bible. Yeah, the Bible was there as people were just moved by the Holy Spirit. So I'm going to read from that section of revival called Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. For those of you who want to switch on your Bible, go right ahead. And so Exodus chapter 15, just a couple of verses, because otherwise we'd be here till next week. And then it says this: then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and rider he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God. I will praise him, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now, the background to this, of course, is the story of Moses. And the story of Moses is for a human to be. And that was not enough to bring deliverance to his people. It was not enough. And there is many times that well-meaning Christians can think that if they learn this and they do that and they get all sorts of schemes afoot, as if that's going to bring salvation to our nation and if that's going to bring deliverance to our people. And it's not going to do it. We've got all sorts of stuff going on in our nation at the moment. We've got this and we've got that, and we can get caught up in all sorts of things. But there's one thing I'm caught up in, and that is, people say to me, what do you think? What's your prophetic word? And I say, well, I'm not a prophet. I'm just a simple bloke. Anything with more than one syllable I could never spell. But I said, I will prophesy this. COVID has come and COVID will go. So why focus your whole life on COVID? We're not supposed to. And so, because if you focus on the wrong thing, your life will be bound in fear. We've had a dialogue of fear just over our nation, like it's been so horrible. But the reality is, you and I have got the opportunity to be a voice of faith and hope and love in the midst of darkness and despair and everything else. And people say, but it's so bad. I'll tell you what's bad. Christians looking like last year's bird's nest. It's like I'll tell you something. Christians looking like they don't have a future. I'll tell you why the world is in trouble, because there's not enough Christians who are proud of their Jesus. There's not enough Christians who are proud of the Holy Spirit. Oh, katabo shundalaya. And people say to me, why do you talk in tongues so much? Because it's fun. I have my vaccine pass against boredom. How's your vaccine pass against boredom? Shukurandaya. Whoa, Kurandaya. Here's Moses. He's rejoicing. So in the story of Moses, it comes through. He was trained in all this, and it wasn't enough. So he's now out in the desert. And the story goes on. He had to turn aside from his daily routines to have an encounter with the fire of God. And he had this encounter with the fire of God, and he comes back. It's an amazing story. He comes back and he says, let my people go. Hey, oh God, yeah, okay, but I'm not a very good speaker. Because his instinct was still what he was capable of doing. I'm not here tonight because I'm a great speaker. I'm here tonight because I'm a happy one. I mean, it's so terrible. I've been in some conferences and some places, and you know, because Christians are so nice. Nice doesn't change cities. And so, and then people get up and go, well, actually, I've got nothing to say. So I've been sitting there, and someone get up and go, well, actually, I've got nothing to say. So I got up and said, sit down then. I have got something to say. It's like, the enemy say, well, that's rude. I'll tell you what's rude. People getting up and just blurbing nothing and waffling away instead of having a word from heaven and something that'll change an atmosphere and release the goodness of God and release the fire of God. And have. Whoa, well, people say, you're not very nice. No, I'm not. Oh. Who's my man? You're supposed to hold me up, mate.
Yeah, I'll be up. Okay, one, two, three. Two buttons. Okay. Yeah, take one side, I'll take the other.
It gets a bit heavy sometimes. Have you got my back?
I've got your back.
I want it myself, please. So here's Moses. Yeah, that's Moses. And he had to have this encounter. And we know the story goes on. Actually, There's someone here, and your second name starts with G. Shh. Oh. Oh, just stand there, sir. Just fire. So, and people say, why did you do that? Because it was fun. Did you want more? Oh, you hit a cat. He wants to serve someone. So why don't you come here? Yeah. Just come here. just stand there, because he's wanting some work to do. Fire! For those that are watching online, if you did miss that, I'm sorry, but God's just doing some good things. And so, whoa! Anyone's faith just going up for the move of God? Come on, So Moses, he's now confronted with the biggest occult powers on earth at that time, the Egyptian magicians. And they're going, and God says to him, throw your stick down. And what was his stick? His stick was the shepherd's staff that he had, which in those days, of course, was the fact that they would carve their life story. And we understand that in New Zealand because that's what a lot of the Maori carvings are. It's just the story of people's lives. And counters, whoa, that's good. Encounters, that's a word for someone, encounters. Whoa. Come on, fellas.
Okay, one, two, three.
What?
Let's get on this side.
It just gets a bit heavy sometimes.
You're right.
You know, it's so easy to read in Scripture about the glory of God. It goes like this, ha, ha, ha. And we forget that the word glory is weight, and that's what they're just encountering at the moment. But that's not just for me, that's for all of us. It's like God saying, I'm here. Oh, and then we say, oh, how much of God can I have? That's not the question. The question is, how much of you can he have? And so, whoa! And so Moses, who's there, and God says, throw your life story down. Throw down the story of your encounter with Dan. And the magician said, we've got a story too. And they threw down their sticks. But we love it, don't we? Moses' snake ate their snake. No, it wasn't. God's power overcame the power of the magicians. And you and I, in our day and generation, have to understand that it's just the same. That the power of God that is with us is greater than any power that you will face as we go through life. There is no power like the power of the name of Jesus. There's no glory like the glory of our God. There is nothing that is going to beat the power of God. The same power that raised Jesus from the dead is what we're talking about. So why should we look like stuffed mushrooms waiting to be eaten? It's the reality is that we are supposed to be walking demonstrations and carriers of the power of God. So when we go into a situation, we go and knowing that because we walked into that situation, it's going to change. And so if this sounds a bit rough, I haven't even started yet. It's in a few minutes, there's going to be time for an impartation of faith and joy. Yeah, they work for a little while, but there's many churches have got a whole record of broken chairs. Because the glory comes down and it just breaks them. It just, steel just bends. It's so good. You can always tell a good revival church by the damaged chairs. You see, the only way that Moses could do what he did in overcoming was because he had, but he's also the God of fire. Oh, this poll is really good. So anyway, just watch out. Keep the leg straight. Just keep the leg straight. It's better. Are you having fun? I was in a Russian church and they had a couple of guys come in to help me. They really looked like KGB agents that you see in films. And I just turned and said, oh, hello, and the power of God and the Holy Spirit. You know, it's just boom, boom, boom. And then as he hit the ground, he was there. And so another one of them comes up. You know, they got earpieces and everything. And he comes running up, and he got about 2 meters away, and the power of God hits him, goes down, has a deliverance there right on the stage. It's so good. I love it. So who's going to have the deliverance tonight? I mean, why would you want to coexist with the devil? You know, it's like, I know a lot of Christians, not in the South Island, I'm talking about Australia. And so, where you start talking about deliverance and they go, oh, I'm not going up for prayer, I might have deliverance. So you're wanting to live with the devil? Like, really? So anyway, Pharaoh lets the children of Israel go. Now they're up against it. But once again, he holds up his story of God. I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Do it again. Boom. The Red Sea opens. And archaeologists have found the place. It's in what we today call the Gulf of Aqaba. And there it is. They've found the artifacts and the different things. And then, because God is so good, he then allows the Red Sea to come in and just destroy forever the power of that occultic kingdom. And people go, oh, what about the poor people? What about the poor people? I mean, this is where Christians get so sloppy, so sentimentality is the greatest enemy of revival that I know. Because you start functioning out of the soul instead of rejoicing in the purity of God's holiness and the purity of God's spirit, that he's not going to coexist with the devil. He's like, boom, shaka. But that wasn't enough. Because in scripture, we then have the Apostle Paul, who was the master of get ready, there's something's about to happen. He was the master of the Old Testament, and he starts writing. You know, they're there. Ooh, yeah. And to the Corinthians, which was the most immoral city in the Roman Empire, and he just simply says, "The Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom." Freedom from what? Freedom so you don't have to think like the world. Freedom from the fear that the world tries to put on you. Freedom from the thinking of the world. Freedom from the small thinking of the world. New Zealand is crippled with... The church has now been delivered from my pastoring, but that's okay. And so... And the church was going nowhere. I wasn't the pastor at the time. I was just building houses for us and working in a factory and just... Yeah, doing stuff. But every time I went into Mitre 10 in Lower Hutt, I'd go, God, this will make a great church. God, this will make a great church. My wife stopped coming to Mitre 10 with me because she knew what was going to happen. That she said, come on, we're supposed to be. Yeah, but I'm walking through Mitre 10 going, God, this is going to make a great church. And we weren't planting churches. I wasn't even one of the leaders of the church. But I was like, God, this is going to make a great church. And I went through it. God, this is going to make a great church. And today, that Mitre 10 is a great church for the glory of God. Way! Why? Because I didn't look at the bank account and I didn't look at anything else. But I looked to the God who can put gold into fishes, man, hope and life for me. And so, yeah, Paul, shukula, masaka, whoa, shakia, whoa, shuma. Yeah, just stick with me because I don't want to land on Ken. Someone asked me recently, how much do you weigh? I said, oh, 10 stone. They said, and that's it. So I was like, I said, yeah, I've got 10 stone and a few more. It's like, how you doing down there, bro? Yeah, like that. I knew if you jerk, you'd get out of the way. This is fun, isn't it? Now, this is what happens. You get some people looking at me and others going, please. Are you worrying about him? I'm not. Are you having fun? Whoa. Could you help me, please? Just give me your hand. Now go and put it on the lady next to you. Fire! Just come here. Watch out, you're spilling the water now. I'm not worried, it's not my church. She's hungry, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You're supposed to look after her. And if you, now people are really looking at me like, but you see, we forget so easily. We have the God of supernatural power who is longing to move in us and through us. Because we get so used to trying to shape God into our paradigm. Well, you can't. Like, you'll meet people and say, well, no, I can't believe because I don't. I mean, honestly, how many of us here actually understand ourselves? One day we're this and the next day we're something else. And I mean, or is that only North Islanders? It's like, but the reality is, the Bible says, he is the Lord who changes not. And if there's one constant we can have in life, it's the Lord. It's the constant. This constant who wants to... Are you doing okay now? And why did I do that? Exactly. Because we get so spiritual sometimes about... Oh. And then you find... And so, not this church, I'm talking about the ones in Poland... Where I go, where people do an altar call and they say, if you have a need, you can come for prayer. I just warn you, be careful. It's so funny. There's a few times people have sort of fallen on here and the lady's fallen down and I'm left with the wig sticking on my, my button. It's like, oh. People say, why would God do that? Well, he didn't put the wig on in the first place. Now everybody's checking their hair. It's a church. Church is fun. I mean, church is fun. I mean, we're not supposed to come to church and look like a sardine trying to find a sandwich. honestly, if the joy of the Lord, as I think about closing, because I've got to finish before McDonald's close, and so, no. The reality is this. That was the Old Testament that Moses was able to say, the Lord is my strength. He's my song. He's my everything. If that was the Old Testament, we who are living under a better covenant, we should be rejoicing in the God of our salvation. And even though it may be that some bad news tries to come, then we still have got a reality, and we've got a strength, and we've got a power, and we've got resurrection that the world doesn't have. And that's why the Bible says, I will not be just tossed around by all the stuff that comes around. Whoa! I never had a heart attack. You have ECGs and treadmills and goodness knows what, you know. And I praise God that they never talked to me about food. Because you see, I'm actually a very strict vegetarian. I believe some of you are shaking your head like you don't believe it. But I believe in recycled grass all the time. It's like And so if you're vegetarian, God bless you. So am I. I just like the red version. But they were there. And afterwards, they kept saying to me, Seth, you've had an episode before. And I'm going, no, I haven't. And then my daughter, who's a nurse, said, Dad, just like I had one wife, five daughters. I'm not a Muslim. It's not the other way around. And so she goes, Dad, you said you had to. So they're trying to tell me all this. Oh, it's like, really? See, what have we got to fear? I'll just talk to church on this side. What have we got to fear? What's the worst thing that can happen? Go to heaven? Come on, make my day. It's like, but our humanity overrides us so many times that we forget that we are just passing through. And that's when we get shaken by all sorts of stuff and people get all terminated and this and that about COVID. Well, my mum, before she died, she was 94, and she was there, and I said to her last year, I said, Mum, what do you think about this? Oh, this is nothing. I've been through the Depression. I've been through the Second World War. I've had rationing. I've done that. This is nothing. You can still go to the supermarket. You can still buy petrol. We couldn't do that. And it's a whole different perspective. You and I have been Main Street Heaven. Thank you very much. I've already put my order in. And so you say, well, wow. People say, yeah, but. I love the close fellowship, bro. But we must learn to live in the fullness of the Spirit. And for that, we have to invest into it. And if you're thinking more about your problems than you are rejoicing in your God, just get born again. Because you've got the wrong perspective. If you're spending more time being anxious, the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. So why live in disobedience when you've got the Spirit of God freely available, not only with you, but in you, to steal us from reality? But praise God for the Holy Spirit. Can you stand with me, please? I think we can. Someone's going to have to get Ken out of the way. This is just all we're going to do. You'll have a prayer ministry team here, but we're just going to do a one-sided bit of a prayer tunnel. I just want to lay hands on everyone who wants hands laid on, which is, you all want that because I'm a man of great discernment. And if you didn't want it, well, I've just told you, you do. And so you're just going to come down here and just come along. And I want to just lay hands on you. Because there is faith and an anointing of joy to be released tonight. That, but right now, just let's say hallelujah. That's, we're just cooperating with the angels and the hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yeah. Lord, let it be that our eyes are not focused on our circumstances. I just want to tell you this. Circumstances do not shape my faith, but my faith has shaped my circumstances. So, Father, as we just go through this next part, as you just release glory, activate fire in a fresh way, and do all sorts of amazing things, I thank you, Lord, that you've got something for everybody in this place, because that's why they came. And you said that the hungry shall be satisfied. I'm not looking to see whether someone falls, shakes, bakes, or otherwise does anything else. All I know is this, that the anointing will flow, and you can then say, God, I thank you, I received something from you tonight. And the more you thank him, the more you will get from him. That's just the way it is. So, Father, and thank you, Lord, in these next few minutes, the way that your glory is going to transform lives for your glory. Thank you that the river of God continues to flow, that their revival that's in New Zealand is increasing and increasing. And we thank you there's a harvest of souls which is already starting to be ingathered in Jesus' name. Amen. So why don't you just come near from my left and just come along, and we'll just need one or two people. Maybe if we go down there, there's a bit more room for. Yeah. Just get a whole line if we want. Let's just.
Have we got any keyboardists in the house? Like Paulette? Awesome. Thank you. All right. Okay. Come on through. Holy Ghost.